Our lesson this morning is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17, wise living in tension with the world. Several believers in different states of the nation have reported on the increasing difficulty they face in living in accord with Bible truth, since doing so conflicts with the godless world's deteriorating culture around them. 1 Peter was written to Christians who stand for Jesus Christ, made them aliens and strangers in the midst of a pagan society. So we study 1 Peter for insight and edification. And 1 Peter 3:13 to 17 calls us to wise living in tension with the world. And we view it for our insight and edification. I'd like to start with a word of prayer and then we'll get into the word. Lord, we're so grateful for your loving kindness, for your truth, for the indwelling Spirit of God, the presence and the power of the Spirit of God to equip us to live the life that you want us to live. We ask, Father, for wisdom, first of all, to understand what the text is saying, and then wisdom in applying it as we rely on the power of the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I'd like to read the verses first, and then we'll look at them. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And who is he who will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you, and do not be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of life in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for doing well than for doing evil. Jesus had predicted that his disciples would be hated by the world because they were not of the world, that they had been chosen out of it, in John chapter 15, 18 to 19. That's a truth that it's important for us as believers to keep in mind. God has chosen us away from the world to be different from the world, and that very difference creates a tension from the world's perspective. But that tension is necessary so that we can be a witness for that which is righteous. So that's one of the things we have to live with. So we do need wisdom in knowing how to relate to the lost world. Well, first, we Christians can do much to live peaceably with the unsaved world by our conduct. This is so important. Peter asked, who would mistreat his believing readers if they became zealots for what is good? Now, in the context, this question is almost a rhetorical one that expects the negative answer. Well, no one. So we believers can do much to avoid being mistreated by unsaved people if we are zealous for doing what is good. And the context at 1 Peter 3:10 through 12 reveals that good here means not verbally abusing or deceiving other people, but turning from evil to do good and to seek peace. I had an illustration of this happen this past week. I had to go into a bank, one of my bank, and I had to talk with some bank officers that were there. And I was going to open a special account for them. And of course, going through that, where do you work and so forth, Nepal Bible Church. Oh, what church is that? And I say, well, it's on Route 202, and they look puzzled. Then I say, the church with the red doors. Oh, yeah. Everybody says, they all know the church of the red doors. And then one of the business officials, who was a lady, she says, that's the church also. You've got this food pantry out there. I say, yeah, yeah. She said, you know, that's really neat, that a lot of people need that. So here we are. Here's a lady, and she goes by our church often, and she sees the food pantry. And what do they think? They think, well, here's a church that is concerned about people around because they got a food pantry. And that's good. That is something that eases tension. We're not sort of an isolated enclave here, but we do care about people that are around us. And what's interesting, Pete Hinman Hussar, who mans that food pantry out there, says we get a lot of people in the community who don't come to our church who are contributing to that. They drop by and they put food in, and they want to help. And I just saw that the other day. In fact, for a while, we were getting so much, Pete was having to take food out in order to make room. And then after a while, the need went up, and then he had to start putting food back. But we can do a lot to help ease the tension if we do that which is good, or are concerned about doing that which is really good with other people around us. However, persecution may occur for the sake of righteousness, for taking a righteous stand or holding to a righteous belief. But if that occurs, God directs us how to handle such a situation in verses 14 through 17. Now, if we ever might suffer, I know Adam would be interested in this. This is the optative mood, which is very rare in the New Testament. Paschoite, okay? It's the mood of possibility. So if we ever might come to suffering, Peter's readers were not suffering at the time, but there was a possibility that they could. At this point, the Christian church was just being slandered. It was not too long from this, maybe about a year later, Nero would actually physically go after Christians to persecute them. But if we ever might suffer for the sake of righteousness, we would be blessed, makarios, which in this context means highly privileged due to the eternal reward that awaits us for such persecution. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, the Lord Jesus said, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for great is your reward which is in heaven. For in this way persecuted they the prophets that were in front of you." So if you have the privilege of being persecuted for righteousness' sake, that's a very high privilege. It's interesting, in Acts chapter 5, verses 40 to 41, when the apostles were first beaten by the members of the Sanhedrin for witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, they returned and they were rejoicing that they had been counted worthy to suffer shame for his sake. And in Oriental culture, shame is almost as bad as death. So, as painful as death culturally. Not so much here in America, to some degree, but boy, if this happens to someone in China or India or even in Africa, it's really, really tough on them. But they counted it a high privilege to suffer for the Lord. So we have to keep that in mind. Also, realizing our privilege of persecution, we must not fear our persecutors or be disturbed, unsettled, or thrown into confusion or intimidated. That's all tied up in the Greek word taraso. Don't be intimidated, thrown into confusion, disturbed. Don't be rattled by it. The way to achieve this is to make separate from others Christ as Lord in our hearts. Alexander McLaren said, "Only he who can say the Lord is the strength of my life can go on to say, of whom shall I be afraid?" So that's what we need to do. We need to make sure that Christ is Lord. This demonstrates the tremendous importance of the doctrine of Christology. Christology is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, in our Sunday evening service, we're going to start a series on the book of Hebrews. Hebrews focuses on the person of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ. It's very important to have a proper view of Christ, who he is, in all his exalted glory as God, because when we realize that he is our King, he is our God, everything else falls into a very smooth pattern, whether we're facing persecution, whether we're facing trouble, even in the church itself. The centrality and the magnificent majesty of Jesus Christ, our God, is so very, very important. Then we should always, the Greek word is aie, be prepared, hetoimos, or to make an apologetic. The Greek word is apologia, which means to answer or a defense in a court case. But to make a defense, we get the word apologetic from that. To anyone who asks for a reasonable account, this is the word logos. Normally the word logos just means word, but it can also mean account, an accounting. And here we need to give a reasonable account concerning our hope. That would be our Christian hope. Incidentally, this is why it's so important to know why we believe what we believe and to be prepared to give it. Can I recommend a real good book, a summary book by Josh McDowell? It's, in fact, some of the best apologetic books that are out on the market are out on the market today. His book, A Ready Defense, takes the best of his past works and accumulates. It's like a digest of apologetics. And I have a copy of it in my office. I have a copy at home. And it's very, very good to use. It opposes and gives answers to liberal theology. It gives answers to questions of people who deny the existence of the historical Christ. It deals with all of that. It deals with people who question the authors of Scripture, whether they wrote divine Scripture or not. All of these things. It's an excellent book, but we need to be prepared always to give a reasonable or an answer or a reasonable account for our hope. However, and this is really important, that apologetic needs to be made with humility. The Greek word is pautēs, and respect. Phobos is the word for fear, but in this context it means respect. And this is humility and respect towards the unsaved. If we react in a very uppity mood, in a very proud or arrogant mood, and we talk down at another person, that is a tremendous turnoff. When I was in high school, I'll never forget, we had a son of one of the deacons in our church, and he would carry a great big Scofield Bible under his arm and go up and down the school halls, and he was a witness like this with his finger. And I had one of my football buddies got a hold of me, and he said, "Don, I know you go to the same church as he does. Could you please get him off of him back? We're so tired of this." And, you know, I could understand where he's coming from. And the kids knew where I was from. I was student body president, been elected by the kids, or in the Elks. Never went preachy that way, but just take stands. But we have to be very humble. We have to be considerate of other people. The question is, how would I want to be treated? If someone was witnessing to me and I was lost and I knew I needed Christ as my Savior, what would I look for? I would want that other person to really genuinely show care and friendship towards me as a person. So that's the way we need to treat other people. We need to treat other people the way we would want to be treated. So Peter said the apologetic needs to be made with humility and respect for the questioning unbelievers, that in having a good conscience in our behavior before our persecutors, if we are unjustly slandered as evildoers, those who revile our good behavior in Christ will be put to shame due to the lack of evidence for backing up their slander. So it's better to suffer for doing good, if that is God's will for us, as in the case of being persecuted for the sake of righteousness, than to suffer for doing what is evil. Once again, this is one of those many sections in Scripture that deals with how we live. One of the main reasons why we are saved from God the Father's perspective is so that it would affect our behavior. He wants us to live lives that are righteous. It's so important to live lives that are righteous in the eyes of God the Father. That brings so much glory to the Lord, because we're people who are still exposed to our sin natures, we're exposed to Satan, we're exposed to the world that is around us. But when we live lives that are righteous, that is really glorifying to the Lord. So the lesson is, since we believers in Jesus Christ are hated by the lost world because Christ chose us to be separate from that world, we should still be zealous to do good and not verbally abusing or deceiving others, but turn from evil to do good and seek peace in trying to live peaceably with the lost. However, if we are persecuted for righteousness, may we recall how blessed we are due to our eternal reward for that persecution, and may we not be afraid or unsettled by our persecutors, but set Christ apart as the Lord in our hearts and be ready to give an apologetic for our hope with humility and respect that offers no basis for those who slander our conduct to support their charge. So in application, may we seek to live peaceably with the lost world, doing what is good and kind. However, if we do suffer for righteousness, may we rejoice in our eternal reward, focus on Christ's lordship, and protect our testimony by giving a humble, respectful defense to those who ask for a reasonable account of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was interesting. I've been waiting for an opportunity to use this illustration. We have a lady in our church by the name of Chris, who's in the hospital. She's suffering from COVID and whatnot. And one of the doctors spoke to the family and said, apparently expressed concern because she was reading her Bible a lot. And of course, from the doctor's perspective, you know, there's she must be troubled or thinking she's on death's door, and you know she needs to talk with people, need something to build her up. There's something probably a little wrong, so she's just reading her Bible too much. And of course, from Chris's perspective, and I've known Chris for 39 years, it's just the opposite. She's thoroughly enjoying the Lord and fellowshipping with the Lord by reading her Word. She loves the Word, and the Word is what builds her up. But I thought that's a tremendous testimony that she has in regards, even in her situation, in great physical weakness where she's and suffering that she's going through, there's a tremendous testimony there just by the fact that she's reading her and has been reading the Bible so much. I don't know if she is able to hold it up now at this particular point or not. I don't know what her status seems to change from day to day. But this, you know, even something simple like that leaves an impression. These doctors, they know, they've seen many patients. They deal with many patients. And when a Christian is functioning in the power of the Spirit of God and they're relying on the Lord and they're trusting the Lord, it sticks out. They see that. And you can be a testimony in your own way. And of course, Chris wasn't preaching at anybody. She's just reading her Bible. So we do stand out from the world, but God wants us to stand out in such a way that we are salt and light. We have a tendency to influence and impact people in a way that is positive, and at the same time that is also convicting. Because, you know, if you're living a life that is righteous, that's going to convict someone else who's not righteous. That's automatically going to do that. But God wants that tension to be there because the unsaved world needs to see that we've got a problem. But there is a solution. The solution is in Jesus Christ. So may God give us wisdom in living lives that are righteous and yet seek to alleviate unnecessary problems in our relationships with those people who are in the world. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback that you have. It could be on the issue that we've covered. It doesn't have to be. If there's something else that has come up, feel free to address it.